genius, brilliant, breathtaking and electrifying. Well, that's how critics and fans alike refer to guitar man Joe Bonamassa. And having seen him myself, well, I've got to agree, he's one of the best guitarists, vocalists of not just our generation, but of all time. But he has to be heard and seen to be believed, and UK fans are about to get the chance, due to popular demand from fans throughout the UK, and with only a limited amount of tickets left for his two London Royal Albert Hall shows in April 2017, the celebrated blues rock guitarist and singer-songwriter has added three more concerts to his tour, including a date at Sheffield Arena's intimate Steel City Hall on Monday, April the 24th, and there'll be full details on all our websites. And to tell us all about it, his career, his latest album and his obsession with not just playing but buying guitars, my special guest today is the man himself. So, Joe, first up, how are you?
Thank you. Everything's good. We're rehearsing for the tour as we speak.
Tell us about your forthcoming UK arena shows. What can fans expect this time round?
Well, you know, we're in between album cycles, so in that case, you know, we have basically 17 other albums to pull from. So we're in the middle of kind of trying and, you know, seeing how some of the older material kind of feels. With a new band, so we're really excited about, you know, kind of going back into the past and then, you know, playing stuff off our new record, and we're playing a lot of stuff from that, so, you know, but by the time you look at it, it's 2 hours of blues rock fun.
Well, you mentioned that the new album, is that the Blues of Desperation?
Yeah, Blues of Desperation, and the latest one is Live at the Greek Theatre, which was the tribute to Freddie King, Albert King, and B.B. King.
The Three Kings.
Three Kings, yeah.
But on a recent salute to the British blues explosion on a tour, you pay tribute to Jeff Beck, Eric Clapton, and our own Jimmy Page. So are they Britain's own Three Kings?
We refer to that tour as the British Kings tour, you know, and it, absolutely. I mean, if you think about that kind of, you know, that kind of music and the legacy that Page, Beck, and Clapton have left and are still leaving, you know, I mean, that's, you know, inspired a lot of guitar players, including a young Joe Bonamassa, to pick up the guitar and want to play for a living. So, you know, that kind of legacy is just, you know, it's just awesome. And, you know, I thought we did a good job last year kind of not treading down those well-worn paths and picking kind of, you know, more obscure, you know, deeper tracks from those three. Because, you know, I mean, you can't just go up there and blow out, you know, Layla and Stairway to Heaven and, you know, Beck's Bolero and, you know, Call It a Day. You have to kind of dig deeper into the catalog, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, you know, you're widely acknowledged by many as the greatest guitarist on the planet. And I tend to agree with them. Are they right?
I don't think so, not at all. And I'm not even the greatest guitar player in the room that I'm standing in.
Come on, you're being modest. Who is the best then?
I don't know. I mean, it's so subjective. You know, I think, I've always said the best rock guitar player in the world would have to be Jeff Beck. You know, just a guy who's been able to, reinvent himself time and time again, you know, to play blues and rock and forward-thinking music. You know, I mean, and for me, you know, my favorite singer-songwriter and guitar player is Eric Clapton. So, you know, it's so subjective.
It is, but you know what?
To show and argue with that all weekend.
Yeah, but two greats there. But I've got to ask you about somebody really special, B.B. King. I actually got to interview him shortly before he died, actually. But I know that you got to meet him when you were only 12 years old. Can you tell me that story?
Well, yeah, I got booked to open for him when I was 12, and he took an interest in a kid playing blues. And you know, the rest is kind of history. I mean, like, you know, I'm not the only person that he's done that for. You know, I mean, he's mentored a lot of, like, young musicians and people, you know, and he's, you know, he was the king of the blues. He defined the genre, and, you know, he's sorely missed in this genre, which is seeming to, you know, always seems to, every 10 years, seems to find itself without a mast and a sail. But, you know, ultimately it becomes a thing where, you know, you just try to keep his legacy and you know, and do the best you can.
But how much of a life-changing experience was that, John? Did it?
Well, it was great. I mean, it changed my life. I saw the photo from the day I first met him.
I mean, did that really kind of set in stone then after that, that's what you wanted to do? You wanted to be a guitarist?
Yeah, I mean, between that and watching my father play live, and between, there's so many moments like that where it defines, who I wanted to be.
How old were you, actually, when you first picked a guitar up?
4. I've been playing 36 years this year.
Wow. You've not still got that first guitar, have you?
No. I've always horse-traded to get better stuff, more stuff. I'm not sentimental with my memorabilia.
I know that you have got an obsession with buying guitars. I'm told that everywhere you go, you're buying guitars.
Now, well, if it's nice stuff.
Yeah. And are they all to be bought to be played, or can you just admire the beauty of these things?
Well, no, I mean, it depends on the originality and the rarity, and if it's, like, super mint condition, I don't tend to play it and bash on it, but I collect it because it is history, but if it's beat up and plays good and sounds good, then, yeah, I'll take it on the road.
So how many have you got in your collection?
I'd say probably 300.
Wow. Where do you keep them all?
I'm not going to tell you where I keep them. I mean, I keep some at my house. Some storage, they float around.
There must be guitars there that you've not played for years.
Yeah, probably. Guitars I've played once.
Yeah, really?
Guitars I don't play at all.
But if you see something that catches your eye, you're a sucker for it, eh? You've got to buy it.
It's just like anything else. You have to know what you're looking at. You don't want to be a collector without a purpose, and you don't want to be a collector without at least educating yourself on what's good and what's not. You got to know what you're looking at. Get taken really easily in this lovely business.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? I've got to say that everybody's got signature guitar. We talk about some of the people that we've just been talking about, like I know Jimmy Page, he kind of was his Gibson Les Paul, and he got the Fender Telecaster, but some of them just stuck to Albert King. I think he got the Gibson Flying V, as I remember it. But when I look down the list of things that you're associated with, it's pretty much everything. You've got the Gibsons,
I've sold over 10,000 Gibson Joe Bonamassa models of various shapes and sizes.
Wow.
We've done cables, we've done speakers and amps and stuff like that. And it's the stuff I use on stage is old, but, when we do a reissue of something, it's the most accurate reissue you can, find.
I've just got to let people know what you mean by that as well. When you say a Joe Bonamassa Gibson, they actually created a signature guitar, haven't they? And people can buy that.
Most of the Joe Bonamassa guitars were Les Paul models.
Yeah.
So that's the signature.
Yeah.
And so the Les Paul model was the signature. And I just did a variation of a Les Paul model. And then we did 335s and we did Firebirds and that kind of thing.
But I know you also play the Fender Stratocaster and the Telecaster as well. Which is your favorite?
I play a Strat and a Tele live.
If you had one guitar, if you were on a desert island with electricity, which guitar would you take?
I probably wouldn't even take a guitar. I'd be like, I don't even have any electricity to plug it into. Stuck with that in a desert island with no electricity, I think my guitar playing days were pretty much over.
If you had electricity on a desert island, I don't know how that would work. But which guitar would you take?
Oddly enough, I'd probably take a Fender Stratocaster because I can do anything with that.
Yeah, it's good all around it.
And a couple extra sets of strings.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I was going to ask you about that. I mean, obviously, there'll be a lot of kids who will come into the show and be mesmerised by seeing you on stage. But what advice would you give to people starting out who, or maybe have not even picked a guitar up, but wouldn't mind having a go?
You have to start out, going, do I like this kind of music? And am I passionate about it? And do I love it? And will I stick to it, regardless of anybody coming out to see it? And if you can answer those questions yes to all, then you have something there, because people respond to enthusiasm, and they respond to authenticity. If you love it and you're up there playing it and you love it, then people respond to that. If you're up there because it's the hip thing to be, or you're just following a trend, people tend to see through that.
Yeah, and I mean, you obviously you enjoy it that much on stage. We enjoy watching you play. I suppose it's a knock-on effect, isn't it, with the audience? You've got to be passionate.
You have to be passionate about it. for sure.
You kind of you play the things like the mandolin, the dobro, I think the banjo.
Yeah, yeah.
What you like on the drums and everything else? Can you play other instruments?
I can play a little bit of everything except for drums. I can get by in a mandolin, I can get by in a dobro or open tuning slide, but that's not my forte.
Well, what the forte is the guitar, and like I say, I just want to remind everybody that I've seen this guy in concert, and he is unbelievable, and he's going to be coming over to the UK to do some shows in April 2017, not least of all at Sheffield Arena at the Steel Hall on Monday, April the 24th. Now, Joe, the last time I saw you in the UK, you were playing big venues, but like Sheffield City Hall, you're now playing arenas. I mean, the following's getting huge, isn't it? What's going off?
It's been great, it's been great, and people in the UK have been very supportive of me. I cannot lie. It's all started in the UK, and it's been that way, and I've been very lucky. They've been following me for over a decade now, like this.
Well, you say it started, I suppose that there was a big explosion of interest in you in the UK, which has been great. I just want to remind people, you're actually from, I think, New Hartford in New York, which is producing...
I'm from New York, and I live in Los Angeles.
Yeah, which has produced some great musicians. I mean, I just wondered how much of actually coming from that background, did that shape your musical career?
Well, I mean, your upbringing always shapes your musical career. I mean, it's just the geographical location, the records you listen to. You know what I mean? All that stuff really shapes what you want to, what you want to be, and the kind of music that you play.
So what did the young Joe Bonamassa grow up listening to? What influenced you?
British blues.
Really?
That's it. Clapton with the Beano album with John Mayall and the Blues Breakers.
Yeah.
Free, Jeff Beck Group, with Rod Stewart singing and, all that kind of stuff. That was Jethro Tull, with Mick Abrahams and early stuff with Martin Bure, and all that stuff was like hugely influential.
But I mean, you now live in that world, and have you worked closely with some of these artists who you admired from afar, like Eric Clapton, for instance?
Yeah, well, Eric was nice enough to come sit with us at the Albert Hall in 2009, yeah. I've gotten to meet and play with a bunch of really great people.
Do you ever get a bit starstruck by it, told you?
I do. I mean, I'm a fan first, remember? It's that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Well, listen, as you can hear, my band guys are chomping at the bit to rehearse, and if I don't join them, I'll start playing jazz.
Amen. Listen, thank you for your time.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Graham, and we're looking forward to getting back there.
Bye-bye.
All right, cheers, dude. Okay.